Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to another edition of Road to the Grey Cup 2013. I am your host, Derek Taylor, and today we'll take you back to the Riders hosting Edmonton late in the season. It was week 16, this the second of a three-game win streak late in the year. Our special guest for today, right guard Chris Best, who spent 10 seasons with the Riders, played 114 games, won a couple of Grey Cups along the way, 2007, and then here in 2013. And Best is an interesting character, drafted in 05, and really took a long and winding road to get to the Riders. Best grew up in Calgary, went to university at Duke, then went to Moore University at Waterloo, finally arrived in Green 2 years after he was drafted.
Well, I always thought I was actually going to go to Waterloo in the first place. I'm a fourth-generation engineer. My dad, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather are engineers, and my dad was a Waterloo alumni, so was my mom. So I always thought I was going to go to Waterloo, and then I ended up being about 6'5" and 230-some pounds in high school, and I could run. So people had other plans for me. I wasn't heavily recruited by the States by any means. A bunch of Ivy League, a couple Div 1 schools. I was lucky enough to go on a recruiting visit down to Duke, had a blast. My head hurt for a week after that, and they offered me a scholarship, and I said, you know, sure.
So how do you then get from Duke to Waterloo?
At the time, as I said, Duke, we were not the best team. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with football, but I knew I wanted to do some more engineering. So I reached out back to Canada, and Waterloo came up with an offer to come play football for them and to come help me do my master's degree in mechanical engineering under one of the foremost fire researchers in Canada, Professor Weckman. And it was too good an opportunity, and I always kind of wanted to go to Waterloo in the first place. So it made sense to me, and I had a chance to come back and play two more years of CIS football.
Waterloo as an engineering school versus Waterloo as a football school, how does it compare?
I would say it's a better engineering school than a football school. Although, once again, Coach Bertoia there has done a much better job. I usually, when I go to the schools, these schools, they're not as good, but they've all gotten better since I've left. I'm not sure if that's an indictment on me or not.
That's amazing.
Proud of all of them, though. Very proud.
So you're a fourth-generation engineer. So it strikes me that you've set a really high bar for your kids. Hey, Dad was a four generations of engineers, but Dad added football for a decade, so let's go.
Oh, I mean, I hope that they aim high. You know, it's I'm excited about what they can do. I don't think I'm putting too much pressure on them, but especially because every time if I look at my college win-loss record, it's not quite as impressive. I'm excited to see what they end up doing for sure.
Best was a valuable part of incredible offensive line with Xavier Fulton, Dominic Picard, Brandon Labatt, Ben Heenan as well. He'll give us the inside scoop on all his teammates and take us back to 2013 on the road to the Grey Cup. We'll go inside the booth with Luke Mullender next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Inside the booth, Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender as we're on the road to the Grey Cup 2013. Chris Best, our special guest for this week's game against Edmonton. You played with Bestie. Yeah. You saw him play for a decade. Tell me about Chris Best.
Love Chris Best, man. A very good friend of mine off the field, thankfully. But on the field, all business. Mean, tough, gritty guy. A guy who's paid for it and his physical style of play since he's left the field. But a total team guy. One of the leaders. Never really said a ton, but you could always depend on him. And that was sort of that mantra for that 2013 team, is they were just a very dependable offensive line. They got it done. They always responded when they needed to, when things were bad. They understood that they needed to be the leaders of the team. And but Best, one day he'll be in the green and white,
Plaza of Honor.
The Plaza of Honor, for sure, and he's very much deserving of that. He's also a guy who's doing a lot for the community right now as a member of the alumni. So he's invested into this community, And again, I really enjoyed just being around Chris, right? Practicing against him. He wasn't a guy who took a playoff in practice or a game. And it showed. His performance showed. But I think, though, that when you look at that offensive line,
they really
took their the center guard combos, right? Picard, Best, and Labatt. That's how they were sort of embodied. That, like, they took their physical the approach to the game and embodied it around those three guys. Physical style of play, right? Wouldn't say much to you, would just rather pancake you. They were fun to watch. I always get asked to compare the 2007 offensive line and the 2013, and it's close. I'll never say anybody's better than 2007 O-line, but it's really close.
Yeah, Brandon Tammann had nothing but praise for him with us last week, said they were the strength of that 2013 team. And it really comes across when you talk to Corey Sheets when you watch the game. Sheets said, I didn't really need the hot tub that year because they really didn't touch me. Massive holes opened up, and that just has to make the game so much easier for everybody. Sheets, Durant, the offense on the whole, when your offensive line is that good.
Whenever you have a guy like Corey Sheets with his skill set and ability to make one guy miss, if he's then afforded the opportunity to make that one guy miss at the second level as opposed to at the line of scrimmage, you're in trouble. And you saw that a lot. I'm glad he alluded to that, because there were times where the second level was the first time he'd have a helmet or a body in his face. And with Sheets' ability to break a tackle or just plain out make a guy miss, that was special. And again, if you look at the team and if you look at Cortez's running style, this wasn't a bunch of toss sweeps. This was between the tackles to start off with and then make your cut and then discuss. And that's why Best, Picard, and Labatt were such a imposing force on that interior, because it set the stage for everything that Sheets did well.
And they were able to run four Canadians on that offensive line with Ben Heenan as well. Best will talk about all his running mates. He'll talk about his career and give us so much in depth on what Brandon Tammann said was the strength of this 2013 team. Kickoff is next. It's the Riders and Edmonton from Week 16. Rod Black and Dwayne Ford with the call on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Offensive lineman off the board in the 2005 CFL draft. Chris, they took you even though they knew they weren't going to get you right away?
Yes. Roy Shivers was the GM at the time. He called me up, said he's going to need some offensive linemen. I told him I was going to go to grad school because I was already accepted to Waterloo. He said, that's fine, we can wait. And, drafted me fourth overall in 2005.
So it sounds like that wasn't a hard decision, should I go play football or should I go to school?
At the time, it was an interesting decision for sure. My wife, my wonderful wife, Emily, who I brought up from North Carolina to Saskatchewan, she really didn't know that I was going to play professional football. She thought I was just going to be an engineer. So there were some twists and turns in there. But I had, leaving Waterloo, I had such great opportunities, chance at the East-West Shrine Game to see what the NFL had to say. Mr. Tillman being with the Riders, sending an open invitation to me. Like, it wasn't expected for me to do that, but it really made sense at the time, and I'm very happy that I made that leap.
A few weeks away from hosting the 2013 Grey Cup, and a team that has been built to get to the Grey Cup and win the Grey Cup. The Saskatchewan Roughriders coming off a big win over the BC Lions last week, and they've got a big guy in their lineup.
Well, they sure do. Alex Hall arrives here in Saskatchewan leading the Canadian Football League with 15 sacks. He has 24 in 28 career CFL games, one of the most prolific pass rushers in the league. And following in the footsteps in many ways, moving from Winnipeg to Saskatchewan, former Rider, now an Edmonton Eskimo, Odell Willis, 47 career sacks. He plays his first game here in Regina since leaving the Riders as a free agent in the offseason.
The math is pretty simple. Cavis Reid knows his team is really in the middle of a Hail Mary right here. They have to sweep the remaining games and hope for some help. Crossover hopes are very, very dim right now for the Edmonton Eskimos. Cavis Reid has been on the hot seat in Edmonton, and the seat gets hotter. Corey Chamberlain has said to his team, lock in. Down the stretch we go. 9-5. Riders came out of the gate 8-1. Lost four straight. And, of course, Corey Sheets was out of the lineup for three games. Corey Sheets is back, though. So are the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Their 9-5 record. 6 points back of the first place Calgary Stampeders, who won last night. Tied with the BC Lions. They're trying to keep pace and move 2 points ahead of those Lions, trying to get their first home playoff date since 2010. Wind, as it always is, a factor. The autumn winds are starting to howl. Dwayne Ford, football weather is here.
Well, this is it. You can feel the playoff weather in the air, Rod.
Ricky Schmidt is going to boot this to get us started into this wind. Jamal Miles is back. A lot to be thankful for this weekend. And we kick it off here in Regina. And the Eskimos get the football, and it's Amondo Sewell, a D lineman, carrying the football, trudging up to the 39-yard line. Here comes Mike Riley, brings his offense onto the field.
Mike Riley, for all the success that he has had on a personal level this season, not great against the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 4 TDs versus 5 interceptions. He does have 2 great receivers to go to, and Fred Stamps, who leads the CFL with over 1,000 yards receiving, and Adarius Bowman, healthy again. A season high, 111 yards last week in the loss to Montreal.
Right to the air, goes deep right away, going vertical, and trying to find Hugh Charles, of all people, downfield, and Mike McCullough, the middle linebacker, filling in for the injured Ray Williams, also downfield very quickly to break that up.
Well, they had the mismatch set up in man coverage, but McCullough worked well against Charles there. As we look at this Rider defense, Ricky Foley, 5 sacks in his last 5 games to lead this pass rush. Tyrone Brackenridge, terrific playmaker from the free safety spot. Dwight Anderson leads the Riders with 4 picks this year, including 1 a week ago.
Riders trying to force a quick 2 and out. Riley avoids one and now throws it to the sideline and into the Saskatchewan bench. Alex Hall in quick pursuit, number 99 for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Again, traded from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, came down the Trans-Canada Highway and now wears Rider colors, fast-tracking after Mike Riley.
Well, and Hall very nearly had his first sack in green and white. Had his hands on the Eskimo quarterback. We'll see a lot of him today. A lot of moving around with the Riders' defensive linemen.
Grant Shaw is going to handle both kicking duties, the punting and the field goal kicking. And Jock Sanders is back. This was with the wind, not a good kick. And there is a penalty here. Sanders tries to shimmy and shake, but he's down at the 24-yard line. Mike Miller downfield quickly, one of the best special team players for the Eskimos. And our referee today is Andre Prue.
No yards. Edmonton number 27, 5-yard penalty, first down.
Since it hit the turf, it's a 5-yard penalty. So the Riders and Darian Durant bring the offense out after that big win in BC last week.
And Darian Durant completing over 73% of his passes in 2 starts against the Edmonton Eskimos this year. Chris Getzlaff having a career year, 3rd in the CFL in yardage right now. And Corey Sheets, always a threat from the backfield.
There he is, right away, Corey Sheets. This Eskimo defense, not good against the run. In fact, they give up more yardage rushing than any other D in the league.
And it doesn't get any easier for the Edmonton defense. With the absence of J.C. Sherritt refracturing that thumb, Rennie Curran replaces him at the middle linebacker spot. Marcus Howard will provide the heat up front. He leads the Eskimos with 9 sacks. Chris Thompson on the back end. The veteran has 4 interceptions this year.
There's an offside call. And it was Odell Willis who jumped. Former Saskatchewan Roughrider. He and Durant formed quite a bond when Willis was here with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and he expected to do a little trash talking today with his old friend who he calls his big brother, Darian Durant. So it's 2nd down and 3. Durant, deep drop over the top, and right at the 1st down marker near the 38-yard line is Taj Smith. And Rennie Curran, in place of J.C. Sherritt, makes the tackle.
And the Eskimos well prepared for the crossing routes with Taj Smith. We've seen him score a couple of touchdowns from very similar sets. Curran does a nice job coming up to make a play there.
First and 10 for the Rough Riders. Double tights here. They go power sweep with Sheets, and he goes nowhere. An issue for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and also the Eskimos, but more so for the Rough Riders, despite their record this season, they have gotten off to lousy starts. Durant will change the play. Second and 13. Loss of three on the play. Delayed draw. There goes Cole Sheets. Running it now. And he's going to be about a yard, maybe a yard and a half shy of a first down. And again, Rennie Curran makes the tackle. Rennie Curran, you're going to hear his name a lot today, filling in for J.C. Sherritt with that broken thumb, who's not back. This is an interesting cat, Rennie Curran, a guy who is a musician, a singer, a guy who is an author. He's been a nomad, been around the National Football League, and now the CFL in his first season with the Eskimos, getting some significant playing time. So now the Rough Riders will boot it away into the wind. Schmidt, floating kick. Joe Burnett has it and is going absolutely nowhere, down at the 25-yard line. So again, the first series produced nothing for both sides. Zeros on the board.
No points for the Riders on their first drive. Edmonton football, first and 10 from their own 25 with 10:53 remaining in the first quarter.
From Mosaic Stadium in Regina, Alex Hall makes his Rough Rider debut. Number 99, right now they put all their weapons in. They have Alex Hall, Ricky Foley, and John Chick. Chick moves inside. Mike Riley, shotgun, hands off to Hugh Charles. Charles is whipped down quickly by Alex Hall.
Alex Hall acquired in exchange primarily for offensive lineman Patrick Neufeld. A couple of draft picks changing ways as well. But Hall, 15 sacks this season, 24 in 28 CFL games since joining the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 2012. And the most prolific pass rushers this league has seen since Cameron Wake.
Second down and five after that running play. Riley, quick hitter far side for Nate Kuhorn. Kuhorn hauls it in, will move the sticks. First down for the Eskimos, and there's Alex Hall in green and white, leaving blue and gold.
I was kind of taken back a little bit at first, but then when it started to settle in, I started to accept it and realize that I was going to a good team, a good situation, you know, playoff bound team, and one that was on the way that could possibly win the Grey Cup. So after a while, I got excited, you know, and was ready to start it.
And run out of bounds is Jamal Miles. How difficult is it, Dwayne? I know you played offense, but how difficult would it be for an Alex Hall to get acclimatized to this Rough Rider defense?
Well, I think they're going to keep things fairly simple for Alex Hall, particularly for this week, where it's a matter of playing the defensive end position, which is where he's comfortable. John Chick will be the guy who moves, as he's a guy who already knows the system. For Alex Hall, it's do what you love doing, do what you do best, go get the quarterback.
They have a motherload of riches on that defensive line. Second short yardage now. And quickly lunging forward for the first down. Well, a lot of people looked at that deal. Alex Hall and Corey Chamberlain welcomed number 99 with open arms.
Alex came in, he and I talked. He's a very humble gentleman, and you know, he's very fired up and excited. And one of the first words out of his mouth was, "Coach, we're going to take this to another level." And he says, "I'm excited." And I said, "Well, when you walked in the door, you made me excited, and I expected to take it to another level." So expectations are high for him.
Expectations are high for Alex Hall. They were in Winnipeg, too, in that dreadful season that the Blue Bombers had. And I know probably Winnipeg football fans were a little disheartened to learn that one of the most significant players was leaving. But the possibility existed that Alex Hall was going to leave at the end of the season anyway.
Well, exactly. Alex Hall, a pending free agent, February 15th. The Bombers had been trying to sign him to an extension. He expressed an interest in testing the NFL waters one more time. So he comes here as a hired gun.
Out of the backfield in the sunshine, one-on-one, Mike McCullough brings down Hugh Charles. Hugh Charles did not get a lot of touches as he was reinserted back into the Eskimo lineup last week. A very tough loss for the Eskimos, a must-win game essentially against Montreal, and a game quite simply that they coughed up a furball.
yeah, a week of distraction, essentially, with an entire team wondering who was going to be starting at quarterback, not finding out until game day, and it affected their performance and their preparation.
Mike Riley pulls it back. He takes off, and Mike Riley goes forward. Mike Riley did a lot of that in his first 10 games of the season. Then, of course, he got hurt. He's only had one carry up until this game for 9 yards. We're used to seeing Mike Riley take off. That might be a sign that Mike Riley feels pretty healthy right now.
Well, I would say it's comparable in many ways to what we've said for so many years about Buck Pierce, where he only knows one way to play the game. An injury's not going to change how he does it.
Of course, Riley was concussed 2 weeks ago, knocked out of the football game. There was a lot of talk whether Riley should play last week. He started but did not have a good start, replaced by Jonathan Crompton, 28-year-old of Central Washington. Came over to the Eskimos in the offseason, a couple of seasons playing behind Travis Lule in BC. He is an impressive young man, Mike Riley. Everybody talks about his heart and his warrior-style mentality, but he's got a high football IQ. First and 10, go the Eskimos. 37-yard line, and going high, leaping up and almost having it taken away. Calvin McCarty couldn't snag it. And Tyron Brackenridge was right there.
Well, for Mike Riley, guys like Calvin McCarty, Hugh Charles, as receivers out of the backfield, I think are going to be an important part of this game. This is a team that hasn't had a consistent ground attack, but I think the quick passing game and the running game remain key against a team that can load it up with you in a one-on-one pass rush.
Riley's in trouble again, and down he goes. Terrius George brings down Mike Riley for the sack. It's going to be third down here.
When George lines up at that defensive tackle spot, no sooner had I talked about the ability of this team to get after it, three guys getting after it, George just kind of delaying and spying the quarterback, picks up Riley as he tries to turn it upfield.
So many issues with kicking in Edmonton. Hugh O'Neill not kicking today. Grant Shaw reassumes the duties. His first kick since August 18th, and this is good. 47-yarder for Grant Shaw. And the Eskimos hit the board first.
Chris Best, you drafted in 2005. You were with the team by 2007. What was your role with the 2007 Riders?
Oh, I was just happy to be there. I was a highly drafted rookie who was not expected to contribute much that year, as we had a veteran-laden offensive line. I think I played 11 plays in total, most of them being field goal. I was just happy to be there, happy to learn how to play from some really good pros. But I was definitely helping on the practice side much more than the game side at that time, because, we had a great offensive line that year, so there was no chance for a first-year guy to break in there.
You were part of a team that won a Grey Cup in 07, and then you were a starter on the team that won in 13. When you think of those Grey Cups, do you think of them the same? Do you think of them differently?
They were both special in different ways, for sure. 07 was, especially after such a long and hard college football career, it was really nice to actually finally start winning again. Because football is a lot of fun when you're winning, but when you're losing all the time, it's not quite as much fun. So it was really nice to get out there and be with a bunch of great guys and, put some wins on the board and get that championship. But 13, obviously, being out there on the field, especially after being on the field for the Grey Cups multiple times before that and coming up short, it was a really special moment for me as well. But probably 13 is more special because I was on the field, but 2007 really kind of cemented me as saying, I'm gonna give this pro football stuff a shot, see how it goes.
Grant Shaw's field goal gives Edmonton the lead. Riders will take the ball first and 10 from their own 35, down 3-0.
Corey Sheets now trying to kick it outside. He's hot collared down there by Chris Thompson. No flag on the play. G.Y. Simon also has the streak going of 184 straight games with at least a catch. Although last week, that happened late in the game, almost a token catch. But Darian Durant, look out, O'Dell Willis with the sack. And his buddy just brought him down. And O'Dell Willis takes a sip after the sack. First one for the Edmonton Eskimos in this game.
Odell Willis is just going to come around the edge on this one, working against left tackle Xavier Fulton. Speed rush, gets the hands down, wraps up his former teammate, Darian Durant.
Eighth sack of the season for the Big O. So again, Ricky Schmidt into the breeze from his 15. A butterfly up there, the way it floats. Joe Burnett smothered at his 45-yard line. Odell Willis crushes Darian Durant. The Eskimos lead 3-0 in Regina.
5:19 left in the first quarter. Riders down 3-0. Edmonton first and 10 from their own 46.
Mike Wiley back to pass. Heaves one down the sideline and unable to run underneath it is Fred Stamps.
Eskimos had three receivers going deep on that one. Riley basically picking one of them to take a shot. Fred Stamps usually being option one for the S quarterback from each side. Eskimos trying to get those vertical routes.
The Eskimos choose no huddle, trying to disrupt that defense. Here's the rush again, over the top, with a penalty flag as Calvin McCarty could not bring it in again, could not collect that pass. Again, big pressure against Mike Riley. Here's Andre
Major
Pruitt.
Foul. Unnecessary roughness. Edmonton number 68, 15-yard penalty. Third down.
Okay. Thaddeus Coleman, a guilty party. And that big penalty sends this back to the 30-yard line.
If the Eskimos are going to try and slow down that Saskatchewan pass rush, they're going to have to execute, or in that case, catch the football on those screen passes.
Big kick. Look at this one. Grant Shaw again with the wind behind it. John Sanders drops the 29-yard line. 4.5 to go. First quarter, slow start again for the Rough Riders. We'll return to Mosaic after this.
Talking to right guard Chris Best, and I was reading a story from 2009, and you were inserted into the lineup when Gene Mikowski got injured. And I thought, man, being the guy to get called to fill in for Mikowski, I probably would have just faked an injury instead.
I was already had the nickname Little Gino at the time, so it was some very, very big shoes to fill. I don't think I ever quite filled them, but it was an honor to be able to play for Gino. And then obviously once Gino was healthy, I got shuffled back out, but I got my chance later that year again. Yeah, he was one of those great guys. You couldn't learn too much from Gene because he was such a natural, but you could learn a lot from him. So it was really a great chance to play with him for a couple years there.
Is it any more daunting filling in for a guy who was an absolute legend, or would it have been the same if you were going in for anybody in that situation where you were in your career?
I would say that you don't even focus so much at the time. I remember specifically, I wasn't focused so much on who I was replacing, it's more that who I was going against, because there were some very good D tackles in the league in 2009, and I knew I had my work cut out for me kind of having to catch up and play at that level. I was more daunted or I guess more working towards the guys I had to play against, the guys I had to block for young Darian Durant there, than I was thinking about replacing Gino. I knew once Gino was healthy, he was going to shuffle me out again, so I was just trying to do as good a job I could as long as I was out there.
4:34 left in the first quarter of this game from Mosaic. Riders down 3-0, first and 10 from their own 30.
3-0 Eskimos, 4:34 to go, opening quarter here in Regina. Let's go to the sidelines now and join Lee Jones.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rod. You mentioned earlier that Darian Durant's kind of the big brother to Odell Willis. That's because the two were extremely close when Odell Willis was here last year as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. We asked Odell Willis if there'd be any trash talk between the two. He says Darian Durant does a fair bit of trash talk as a quarterback and says they'll have a battle back and forth, guys.
Durant completes the pass to the far sideline. Thank you, Lee Jones. We'll watch that as Rob Bagg brings that in. Odell Willis came quite a fixture here in Saskatchewan when he was a Rough Rider, and then, of course, come trade deadline day, went free agent deadline, went to Edmonton and became an Eskimo.
And as much as he may expect to hear a lot from Darian Durant today, Durant suggests otherwise, that he's got too much on his mind to worry about talking to Odell on the field.
Second and six. Durant looks to his left and fires, and again, it's Rob Bagg, and it's right at the first down marker. Rob Bagg's comeback story continues here in the CFL after a couple of knee issues and surgery the last couple of seasons. Mag has a couple of catches already. Riders moving the football. Sheets carries the mail again. Corey Sheets. But now chases John Cornish. It wasn't too many weeks ago when everyone was looking up at Corey Sheets and then missed the 3 weeks with a knee injury, and now everybody's chasing John Cornish.
A couple of big games for John Cornish, and he has not only taken the overall rushing lead from Corey Sheets, but slightly ahead in terms of yards per game, and a great yards per carry average for Cornish as well.
Corey Sheets' mission was 2,000 yards at the beginning of the season. He would need some monster games to get to 2K. There's the rush again as Durant gets in, but what a catch! Weston Dressler adds to his personal highlight reel. Beauty!
Phenomenal catch from Dressler. You gotta love the courage of Durant standing in there to zip this one. Zips it in, the one-handed grab from the great Weston Dressler.
Three wide receivers on target for possible 1,000-yard seasons. Durant in trouble, lets it go. It was tipped there. But Amaso Munoz. So it'll be second down and 10 now. Ticking under 2 minutes, first quarter.
You wonder how big a factor Corey Sheets has been for the Saskatchewan Roughriders this season. The biggest impact he has appears to be on the performance of his quarterback, Darian Durant. 11 games with Sheets in the backfield. Big difference, particularly in terms of that touchdown to interception ratio when Sheets isn't there.
When Sheets plays, the Riders are 9-2. When he doesn't, they're 0-3. There's a screen to Corey Sheets. Watch him rumble down. He was tripped up. And will be just a little bit shy of a first down. Joe Burnett was able to shoestring tackle him. So now it looks like it's going to be a third down play for the Rough Riders.
And you see offensive coordinator George Cortez, maybe the second happiest guy in Saskatchewan to have a healthy Corey Sheets at his disposal.
Keep in mind, it's 3rd and 2. A field goal would be out of the question here into this wind. Would be about a 52-yarder. Not that they would have gone for it anyways. But we might see a long field goal attempted the other way today. With that breeze. 3rd and 2, so Ricky Schmidt with Jamal Miles back. And Joe Burnett. And it's a fake! It's a fake! And the Riders pull it off. Neil Hughes with the football. And the drive continues.
A great call at a great time. It's in that part of the field where the Edmonton Eskimos, you have to be thinking punt safe. Everybody's responsible. Has to understand what their responsibilities are in a fake situation. Hughes right behind that goalpost, direct snap. Couple of good lead blocks there to get him around the corner, but around midfield is the territory because of the limited risk where teams are most likely to run fakes.
They catch the Eskimos napping. Couple plays left here in the first quarter. Durant again, deep drop now, and swings it over the middle, threading the needle, and the catch is made again by Weston Dressler down near the 25-yard line. They'll mark it at the 27, a 13-yard gain.
Well, and the challenge continues to be defensively for teams facing the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Is who do you key on? You look at the balance that they've had throughout this season in terms of getting the football to Chris Getzlaff, Weston Dressler, Taj Smith. Not to mention the fact that they've got G-Roy Simon and Rob Bay.
Last play, first quarter. And for the third straight game, the Saskatchewan Roughriders are blanked, silenced on the scoreboard, but they are moving the football and could hit the board early in the second quarter. 3-0 Edmonton after one in Regina.
Hey, this is Sean Kleisinger. Did you know Chris Best was a tight end, slot back, and wide receiver in high school? Best scored a touchdown in his high school city championship in Calgary on a hitch and go.
Long drive for the Riders continues as we hit the second quarter. Riders will go 2nd and 8 from the Edmonton 25.
We are back between quarters here. The Edmonton Eskimos lead the Saskatchewan Roughriders 3-0. Another slow start for the Riders again. That's three straight games with the big goose egg in that first quarter. And Darian Durant, though, off to a good start. 6 of 7 passing so far.
Yeah, offensively, the Roughriders seem like they're starting to find their groove a little bit more quickly than the Edmonton Eskimos are in this game, regardless of where things are at in the scoreboard. Darian Durant, as you said, off to a pretty sharp start, and that's what's come to be expected when he has the threat of Corey Sheets in that backfield with him.
Again, they were moving the football, though, and so they change ends here. Riders getting close to the red zone, and they will operate with the breeze here in the second quarter. Saskatchewan did win the toss. They defer to the second half. Second down and 9. Durant, penalty flag to the end zone. Looking at Chris Getzlaff was the intended target, but there was a flag that was thrown right away down near the 29-yard line.
Offside, Edmonton number 45, 5-yard penalty. It remains second down.
Linebacker Damaso Munoz, the man flagged on the play.
So it will be second down and 3 now. This is an area of the field the Riders have struggled despite their proficient offense this season. Near the red zone, they're near the bottom of the heap in the CFL. Again, another fly to the end zone. Open man, touchdown. Weston Dressler. The Dressler leap into the stands. Was against the Eskimos, declined. And quickly in the second quarter, Saskatchewan strikes.
Fitting that Weston Dressler is the man to finish off this drive. He had a couple of big catches on the march down the field.
10 play, 80-yard drive that ate up 5 minutes and 9 seconds of the clock. And early in the second quarter with the wind, the Rough Riders surge in front. Weston Dressler's 8th touchdown of the season gives the hometown Riders a 7-3 lead.
Weston Dressler's 20-yard touchdown, good enough to give the Riders the lead. They'll kick off leading 7-3, 14-14 left in the second quarter. Back to Rod Black and Dwayne Ford.
The little guy with a big heart and the great hands from Bismarck, North Dakota. Weston Dressler has become a superstar in this province. Finds the house once again.
And does a great job just with quick little jab step. Gets Chris Thompson to open up his hips. Thompson's anticipating a corner route in that part of the field. Opens up to the outside. Dressler cuts it back in towards the post.
And that plug out.
Making an easy touchdown pass for Durant.
Ricky Schmidt, big leg. Jamal Miles in the sunshine from his 10, but running out of room now on the sideline. And then it's tripped up near the 42-yard line. Now the Eskimos will try to respond. And like the Saskatchewan Roughriders, they have struggled in first halves of ball games, particularly first quarter into the second quarter. And Riley needs to get it going.
Well, he absolutely does. But Mike Riley's going to need a little bit of help. As we've seen the Saskatchewan Roughriders with this defensive line, a group that was capable of generating all sorts of pressure prior to the acquisition of Alex Hall, has upped the ante a little bit here. With Hall on that defensive line, they've got to get that screen and draw game going, as well as just the basic run game.
Low snap, Riley, quick hitter, far side. A Darius Bolton, the former Rough Rider, is in a wrestling match with Prince Miller. And the last shot was delivered by Bowman. And I do not see any flags out. So Darius Bowman may have gotten away with one there.
A quick hitch to Bowman. Miller was there immediately to make the tackle on the big Eskimo receiver. A wrestling match all the way down to the field. Miller not wanting to let go. And Bowman lucky to escape without a flag on that one after the hand to the face.
Darius Bowman has been a big part of this offense. It's coming back from injury. Riley got one more down. Going up for the football, unable to get it, was Shamon Chambers. And Mike Riley took a lick just as he threw that football from Diamond Ferry.
And Diamond Ferry continues to occupy that Sam linebacker spot that Weldon Brown had occupied most of this season. Ferry, the former Montreal Alouette, one of the great depth players on this Rider roster this season.
Eskimos have had to do this a lot this year. This ball's going nowhere. It went out in the air between the 40s. And you can't go out in the air between the 20s, so that will be an added penalty to that. More yardage for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and it's going to be a tough one.
The 10-yard penalty will be enforced from the end of the play. First down.
Ball has to bounce in play. Cavis Reed has had to shrug his shoulders a lot this year with his kicking game. Instant field position for the Rough Riders here, right at the midfield stripe.
Well, struggles with the kicking game, penalties, lack of offense. The Edmonton Eskimos are losing the field position battle badly here.
That was just a 20-yard kick plus the 10-yard penalty. Durant loads of time, good protection, gets one near sideline, and then is pushed out of bounds right at the first down marker. Riders will go first and 10 from the 44-yard line.
And Chris Getzlaff, on his way to his second career 1,000-yard season, came into this game with 931 yards. Good for third in the Canadian Football League.
That'll be the second 1,000-yard again. Corey Sheets, that's his best run of the game. One of the guys who is a big play rusher.
It was a dynamite cut back to the inside just as he reached second level. Try to cut it back inside. I believe it was Rennie Curran who got just enough of him to take him off balance. There he's through second level. Great juke on the safety, Donovan Alexander.
Seven carries, 31 for Sheets. Durant fires a bullet to G-Roy Simon. No last second catch this week. G-Roy's involved. And the streak moves to 185 straight games.
Well, this is just classic G-Roy Simon. Makes the out cut and then working back towards the line of scrimmage, back towards the football a little bit to make the catch in front of Marcel Young.
You had a feeling that G-Roy was humbled a little bit and also a little bit embarrassed by last week. Keeping the streak alive as Sheets tries to go up the gut. That will move the sticks into the red zone. It's funny, G-Roy Simon, you know, Dwayne, we've got to know him through the years. Here's a guy they call Superman, but he really is more like Clark Kent. He's so unassuming, so humble, so classy.
Yeah, really is a guy who has accomplished all of these great things in the Canadian Football League strictly through hard work. And I mean, the guy he reminds me of would be my former teammate Alan Pitts, a guy who did it all in practice.
Dressel kicking it outside. Close to the 5-yard line, and again could get a fresh set of downs and make this first and goal. It's going to be second down, it looks like, and maybe a foot.
Dressler coming in motion right to left in that offensive formation. Corey Sheets with a nice block to help seal the edge.
No huddle here, high snap. And it looks like it will be a first down for the Rough Riders. It will be first and goal. Again, the Riders have had all kinds of trouble the last few weeks in the red zone. You see the high snap. He almost lost the football. Today, though, they've had some success already. Weston Dressler once. Where will they go this time? From the 5. They go up the middle. The season for Corey Sheets.
And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to that offensive line, creating a huge gap through which Sheets runs.
Well, Corey Sheets is kind of like his team. He kind of warms himself into the game and gets going. The same thing as the Rough Riders have done this year. Again, blank to that first quarter. And less than 6 minutes into the second, they've scored twice. First, Weston Dressler. And Corey Sheets again punches it into the house.
Now it'd be good for me.
talking to Chris Best on the road to the Grey Cup 2013. At the trade deadline of this year, you guys traded for the sack leader, Alex Hull, but you had to give up one of your running mates, a young Patrick Neufeld. Now, normally a team wouldn't want to do that, right? But you guys were incredibly deep with young Canadian and talented Canadian offensive linemen.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, Patty's still playing, and good for him. I love Patty. He was a great rookie to play with, and he's gone on to good things there. But, yeah, we had a young Ben Hain at the time who was just starting on his ascent in terms of his abilities, you know. Obviously, Brendan Labatt, like, the name speaks for himself. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Picard, myself, I was in the mix there. We had a young Dan Clark out there playing six man and doing offensive line, like, tight end stuff. So we had a really good group. It was very sad to see Patty go, but A. Hall was just a difference maker. He is so long and just so athletic that he was a great player for us to bring. He was one of those pieces we kind of need to kind of finish the puzzle there. So it was as much as it hurt to lose Patty, it seemed like it was a good move in the end.
Touchdowns on back-to-back drive for the Riders, now leading 14-3 with 9:16 left in the second quarter.
Well, Corey Sheets has made such a tremendous impact this season. A lot of smiles on that sideline, especially early in the season. Riders lost four games in a row. Righted the ship last week in BC and are looking for win number 10 here today. They lead 14-3 over the visiting Eskimos. Ricky Schmidt just kills one. I'm surprised that leg, Dwayne, that guy couldn't put in that back end zone into the bleachers.
Oh, today might be the day we see it with the breeze behind him.
So now Mike Riley, who was staying warm on the sideline just a few moments ago. Cool day here, 10 degrees Celsius, feels more like about 7 degrees, big wind. Mike Riley told us yesterday he loves this type of weather. It's football weather, he says. But trying to stay warm. Just 3 of 9 so far for 18 yards. 4 first downs. And they have not got this guy involved yet. Mike Wilder to Hugh Charles and an incomplete pass. And a struggle for Hugh Charles this year, too.
Well, this is the second time we've seen Hugh Charles motion out wide, and what Edmonton's getting in this situation is a linebacker going out in man coverage. They're trying to take a mismatch, get a mismatch that they can take advantage of using the speed of their running back against the linebacker.
So lots of motion here. Mike Riley's having a hard time with the crowd. Second and 10. Good protection. Nate Cunningham going nowhere. The Riders right there. Former Eskimo Tristan Jackson on the corner. Gets that corner spot with Rod Williams going out with a broken arm. So Jackson makes the tackle. And again, a 2-and-out for the Eskimos. It's their 4th 2-and-out of this game.
It's not a new issue for the Edmonton Eskimos, but there's just a real lack of balance to me in terms of their offensive play calling.
Last kick only went 20 yards from Grant Shaw. Line drive. Sanders is rolling down now and finds a seam. Picks up about 4 yards. Good day so far for Weston Dressler. In the end zone again. The rough riders storm out to a 14-3 lead.
2-and-out for Edmonton gives the Riders the ball. 1st and 10 from their own 46. 7:49 remaining in the third quarter. Riders up 14-3.
Kind of a cool October day, but it's going to be a lot cooler in a few weeks in Regina when Grey Cup 2013 gets underway. We're happy to be joined by, I think you're going to be the unofficial ambassador of the Grey Cup, Brent Buttstar.
Unofficial. Come on, let's make it official.
Okay, we'll make it official.
Let's get the paperwork done on this.
You could be the commissioner of the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
Brent Butt's with us, star of Corner Gas, comedian. I guess you're going to be busy during the Grey Cup week.
I think I'm going to be busy. They got me doing a lot of stuff. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast.
Now, you hail from this great province, of course, and you've done so many great things. Have you always been a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan? I guess that's once you come out of the womb here in Saskatchewan, you are a Rider fan.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to be a Rider fan or your odds of survival are very slim. But I was always a fan. I was a fat little kid, you know, at 10 years old, pretending I was George Reed, because I was the hardest kid to knock down in my group. So, well, you're George Reed.
So, George, earlier today, second and four for the Riders. Durant over the top, and it's picked off. Donovan Alexander has his first interception of the season, so the Eskimos get the turnover.
That looked like it might have been a broken play or something, because he was wide open.
You know this football stuff, don't you?
Wow. I know when a guy's standing with nobody else is in camera frame, so I think that might have been a broken play or something.
Well, Odell Willis again is providing a little bit of that heat. He and Marcus Howard. Damaso Munoz in on the blitz.
Yeah, looking like a bad toss right to looking for Dressler. So the Eskimos force the turnover. Mike Riley now handing off up the middle. When you heard that the Grey Cup was coming here, what was your reaction?
I was totally psyched because this is, you know, I've been to a few Grey Cups. They're always a blast, always a great time. But football is special in this part of the world. Saskatchewan really is the lifeblood of the province. So, you know, there's no bigger party in the country than if you get the Grey Cup in the place where it's the, you know, the lifeblood of everybody. It's an amazing party.
There's the rush again. Burst outside, head down. For a guy who had a concussion a couple of weeks ago, he certainly doesn't play like that as Diamond Ferry makes the tackle again. Okay, I know you did some color commentary work with Vancouver Canucks.
I did. One game, and that was plenty.
That's good. So how
they thought it was plenty. I was happy to do more.
How about this? Why don't you, this is your time. This is Brent Butt time to call a CFL play or perhaps a few plays. We'll see how it goes.
I look ready? Foolish.
No, go ahead.
I don't know all the players.
I just go by numbers.
Oh, boy. You'll see me even stupider then. Number 11 tosses it over to 17.
Oh, big boot.
He's booting into the wind now, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I could kick it that far.
And there's Jock Sanders. Here's Durant now. There he goes. Chased down from behind. And again, Odell Willis with his old buddy Darian Durant. You said George Reed was one of your favorite players. Is there a contemporary CFLer that you like to watch? Probably one of these Rough Riders?
I was always a big fan of linemen. When I played high school football, I was on the defensive line. I started in center, but I was kind of not big enough. So I've always been fascinated with linemen. Mike Samples, when I was growing up, was a big guy. Roger Aldag.
Oh, yeah.
The Polecat. And Mikowski. It's fantastic. I've got to meet a lot of these guys, too, so it's real. I turn into a 9-year-old, just wide-eyed 9-year-old every time I meet one of these guys.
And the thing is, they want to get their picture with you. That's kind of cool, huh?
It was crazy one time when I ran into Gene Mikowski in Vancouver, and somebody wanted their picture taken with it, and they asked me to take the picture, and then they realized it was me, and then they got Gene to take a picture of me and them, too. So.
Here's a homegrown product. Chris Getzlaff will move the sticks again. There goes Corey Sheets. And runs into an Eskimo wall. And you've worked with some of your actor friends who were from the United States. Do they get a kick out of watching CFL football? It's a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. The ones who watch it for the first time are really taken by how the game is kind of designed to have an exciting ending, you know. And the motto that they've come up with this year or last year or whatever, no lead is safe. I mean, there's no better way to sum up the CFL. Like, that last 3 minutes.
Oh, there goes Darian Durant. And
wow.
Not safe that time.
He was dropped for a huge loss.
Eric Samuels. So now the Rough Riders, third in an area code, will boot this away as we tick closer to that 3-minute warning. An 11-point advantage, 12-yard loss.
But I'm surprised that the Rough Riders didn't recognize that Samuels was coming. So he's the one on the hash mark further back. But he walked up once early in the cadence, showed that he was coming, yet there was no adjustment when he came the second time.
Jamal Miles Kicking it outside and going nowhere. Slips there. Well, Saskatchewan loves its Rough Riders and they love their Brent Butt. Can't wait to see you at Grey Cup. Thanks for joining us.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, fella.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the game.
The official ambassador.
That's right. That's my good friend.
Of the Grey Cup.
Chris Best, I got to ask you, you went to Duke, Darian Durant went to North Carolina. At what times did that flare up?
Oh, I remember. We bet on the game every single year. And actually won a couple of bucks off him. That was nice. We beat them once in college. North Carolina was a better program than us at the time. And we beat them once in college, though. And I definitely had to remind them of that pretty regularly. We were good friends, and like we buried the hatchet. But you got to... He still calls me Dookie to this day, so it's a fun relationship.
Those college rivalries never die, hey?
Not at all, especially ones like that with a trophy and everything.
11-point lead for the Riders with 2:46 remaining here in the second quarter. Edmonton takes possession, 1st and 10 from their own 15.
There they are. Full throw today. Mike Riley now has to escape. He's in trouble. Rocked. John Schick buries him from behind, but Mike Riley did pick up, it looks like, about 4 or 5 yards. John Schick in a bit of a different role today, but still in heavy pursuit. This time comes from the edge.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I'm looking at on this play is Mike Riley, and everybody wants him to play a self-preservation style. I still want to see a scrambling Mike Riley, but in terms of protecting himself, that's a situation where there's nothing to be gained. He can just get out of bounds and avoid the hit.
He got hammered. Second down. It's like 7 yards, but Mike Riley did not like what he saw there, and nor did Cavis Reed. So the Eskimos will regroup, and they take a timeout here with 2:25 to go before halftime.
Oh, critical field position and for the Edmonton Eskimos.
Mike Riley either got something in his eye or has a contact lens problem, perhaps, but it looks like maybe as he went down, again, face first, might have got some of that... those rubber pellets that they have in the field turf here in his eye area.
I remember particularly week one in the matchup between these two teams. An interception late in the first half was a key point in that ball game. This is not a time in the ball game where the Eskimos deep in their own end want to dig themselves in a bigger hole.
Low snap again. And they're saying it's a catch by Kuhorn. Very close to the first down marker. They're going to be short. Let's take a look. Did Kuhorn make this catch? We heard the Rough Riders saying he didn't. Did he trap it? Can't really get a good angle. So here we go. Third down in the yard. Eskimos first gamble, and it's a good one. Edmonton needs to drive the football here. It has been a miserable day offensively.
Well, it really has. 5-2 and outs for the Edmonton Eskimos. Their only points in this ballgame coming on their second possession. 10-play drive resulting in a field goal.
That was their 5th first down of the game. Rough Riders are at 10, and keep in mind the Rough Riders were shut out in the first quarter. 2 minutes to go before halftime. Zach Evans, another local product, one of a dozen homegrown players with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a former junior star, got his mitt on it.
And offensive coordinator Doug Sams, the Eskimos, trying to find an answer, seeking some offensive consistency from his club.
Good protection this time. Now Riley going deep. Has a man, but in trouble. It's a tip drop. Can you believe that? Matt Carter has the football. Welcome to the Canadian Volleyball League.
Well, you talk off the top, Rod, about the wind being a factor here in Regina today. It sure was on this pass. It hangs up there, which allows the coverage to get back to this route. Tyron Brackenridge in the middle. Tristan Jackson comes over. Number of guys going for the football at the same time. Fred Stamps with a hand in there as well. Matt Carter patiently waits. Say thank you for the 59-yard reception.
Biggest play offensively for the Eskimos to the 25-yard line now. They scrimmage first and 10. Now the pitch. First time we've seen this today. And Hugh Charles tripped up. Greg Butler got to him. Initial contact was made by Terrell Mays. And basically got back to the line of scrimmage. May have picked up a yard, a half yard.
Well, it looked like this play had a chance as Hugh Charles had that defensive line outflanked with his motion. He got kind of a jump start in his motion. The D lineman, Chicken Evans, caught inside. The great secondary run support limited the game.
Second and nine. Five receiver set. Charles stays in to block. Ryder has to hurry, and there it is again to Carter. Dodgers one and another and a penalty flag as Mike Riley delivered the football. He was crushed by Carlos Thomas.
Roughing the passer. Saskatchewan, number 11, at the distance for goal. First down.
In a headshot here. Stays in the ball game. First and goal just outside the 5-yard line. Six receivers for Riley. The rush, the slant pass. At the goal line. Mike Riley knew he forced one in there. He was feeling some heat. Tried the slant pattern. And Brackenridge has his third pick of the season.
And again, it's late in the half at a critical time, but the pressure's coming. Off the top of that screen, Craig Butler. John Chick collapsing that pocket. Riley hurries the throw. It's off the mark. And Brackenridge, been a playmaker over the last two seasons for these Saskatchewan Rough Riders, comes up with another big one.
And a souvenir here. That is the ninth interception the Eskimos have thrown in 10 quarters. And Corey Sheets rambles from his goal line out near the 13-yard line, very close to a first down. Turnover so costly in the CFL, and the Eskimos have been feeling it the last few weeks. Cough up another one. Just when they were threatening after a big play and then a penalty. First and 10, they did move the sticks. Durant decides to go this time. This is the official that time, the umpire, as he runs around him. 27 seconds to go before halftime. Gets left with the drive. Hot potato there on the sideline as Durant also was in pursuit. 12 seconds left.
Corey Sheets looked like he might have gotten a little bit nicked on that play as he was calling for a substitution from the sidelines. Took a little bit of a shot up around the neck or shoulder area, so Jock Sanders takes his place in the backfield.
And gets the call. And the ball. And some room. And Jock Sanders down the sideline. And the Riders will have one more play here. 2 seconds to go before halftime. So Jock Sanders gets subbed in for Corey Sheets, and they go right to him. Now 2 seconds to go. He will not take the knee. They're going to throw one deep here. They go Hitch. Dressler, onside kick. Down to the Eskimos. Not a good idea, especially when you're behind by 11. Cavis Reed, I'm sure, is saying, thank goodness. Riders were blanked in the first quarter, but the second quarter with the win was all theirs, including a touchdown from Weston Dressler. 14-3.
As we continue to talking to right guard from that 2013 team, Chris Best. Chris, Brendan Tammann said the biggest move for that 13 season was actually when he got Dominic Picard to sign back in 2012, because he believes that made Brandon Labatt want to sign as well. What was your impression of that?
Oh, Pixar's a great guy. I've known him since, we played on Team Canada together in 2000 in Florida. So I've known Dominic a long, long, long time. And he absolutely was. Like, at the time, he was the best center in the league. He was one of the few centers you could count on to block his guy one-on-one every single time. And his film study and his calls and everything were just, he was always on point with everything. He always made sure we were on the same page. And for me and Blue, he was always there to back us up if we ever needed if we ever needed a guy to come in from the side. I had some great centers in my time, including Jeremy O'Day. But Dominic Picard was, he was a heck of a guy to play beside. The original angry Frenchman.
Saskatchewan again won the coin toss at the beginning of the game. They deferred. We'll have the wind in the fourth. Now Hugh Charles. Really has flatlined the last few weeks. He's been bothered by a hamstring issue, of course. But last year, Hugh Charles had eight touchdowns, or should we say eight backflips, or front flips, actually, into the end zone. But this year, he's only reached the end zone four times, and not lately.
Yeah, in and out of the lineup, Hugh Charles today, five touches, 24 yards. You see Mike Riley below 50% on the day and one interception. Matt Carter leading receiver again, courtesy of that 59-yard tip ball.
Second and four. Good protection that time. And Mike Riley finds Shamaad Chambers. We chatted with Riley yesterday. He talked about the Markham, Ontario product and how Shamaad Chambers has grown into his role with the Eskimos in his second season in Edmonton.
Yeah, and it really seems like over the last few games, he's stepped up. You know, Mike Riley mentioned that a lot of people pointed to Shamaad Chambers dropping a potential touchdown pass late in the Winnipeg game. But he suggests also made a couple of big catches, including a two-point convert later in that ball game in overtime, as well as a play that set them up deep in the end zone.
Riley looks to him again and gathering it in. His number 17, they say no catch, incomplete. Former star at Wilfrid Laurier, Shamaad Chambers.
Take a look and see if he had control of this ball on the way down. Surviving contact with the ground, but it looked like Chambers got down, a knee down, inbounds with control of the ball before it popped out.
Top of screen again. Riley goes the other way this time. Now he is smothered and finally spun to the carpet. Terrius George again. And Terrius George has his second sack of the ball game. So all the talk going in about John Chick and Alex Hall and Ricky Foley, and it's Terrius George, one of those interior linemen, who's enjoyed the fruits of this ferocious front four.
Well, when you've got defensive ends like that, it's a three-man rotation. They're going to draw a lot of attention. And the guys who may benefit from some of that in terms of the way other teams game plan offensively are going to be the guys inside, Terrius George and potentially Keith Schroeder.
Huge kick again. This is going to sail over the head and through the end zone for a single point from Grant Shaw. So make it a 10-point game. But the defenders, the Sask Sack Squad, with another Terrius George, has two today.
The Edmonton single point breaks a long dry spell in this game. Riders still a 10-point lead, about to get their first possession of the second half. 12:41 remaining in the third quarter.
Darian Durant out of the pocket. Now downfield, forgets it, but he could not hang on. That was an issue for Chris Getzlaff early in the season. That was one that the Saskatchewan native would dearly love to have back. That had six written all over it.
It sure did. On a broken play, he gets in behind the defender. And second drop of the day for a guy who's, as you said, has had issues with this in the past, but seemed to have found some consistency this season catching the football.
Police detail Brad Sinopoli's missed last night in the Calgary game. Very similar. The hands too wide there. Corey Sheets on a delayed draw. And success for the Edmonton Eskimos D here as they force the Rough Riders to kick. And here in Regina. Again, the wind's so tough today. This one bounces, though. Never know what's going to come out of the mouth of Odell Willis. One of the best in the game. And John White's first carry. Ricky Foley drags him down. The first time we've mentioned Foley's name today. And such a great Grey Cup game with the Toronto Argonauts. Came to Saskatchewan in the offseason. Has really grown fond of this place and these colors.
Well, he sure has, and very quickly. Ricky Foley, don't be fooled by all the tattoos. He's a farm boy at heart.
Yes, he is.
Raised in Curtis, Ontario.
His mama's watching. Said to give her a shout out. Mama Foley. Ricky Foley, last year's most outstanding Canadian in the Cup. And there goes Mike Riley again. The rush from behind, and he pitches it downfield, and John White is unable to gather it in. And again, Mike Riley has to scramble for his life once again.
And yet another two and out for the Edmonton Eskimos. Sixth of the day, the pressure package. Those second and long situations for these Saskatchewan Rough Riders dominating. Eskimos haven't been able to adjust, haven't been able to find an answer.
Grant Shaw hoofed one into the end zone last time. He's going to try to get it closer to the sideline. Big hop there. Sanders. And it looked like it was down near the 20-yard line, 49-yard boot. Ricky Foley makes his presence felt here in Regina today. 14-4, Riders lead.
Chris, we did this with some of the receivers earlier on, and I want to try it with you. Give me something from your line mates, a skill they had that you would like to have stolen. First, we'll start with the left side, Xavier Fulton and Brendan Labatt.
Oh, that's easy. X's, his athleticism and his boxing background made him such a great left tackle. His feet were so good and his hands were so good when he was feeling well. X was pretty beat up, which is unfortunate, but like when he was feeling all right, like he... At times that year, he was easily the best left tackle in the league, and there were some very good left tackles at that time. Labatt, I would love to have his hips. This sounds especially prophetic considering what ended my career with my hips dying on me. He gets so low, and he does his job so right every single time. Like, the consistency that he gets the job done over and over again just leads me to admire Labatt. I had a ton of fun smashing guys around with him. He was a great guy to play with.
Riders defense holding tight, allowing the offense to take over. First and 10 from their own 19. 9:55 remaining in the third.
Yeah, Ricky Foley.
Hey, Toronto, what's up, man? Foley family back home. Curtis, Ontario, baby. Stand up, Durham region. I love y'all.
And said yesterday, so many reasons to be thankful. As so many of us have reasons to be thankful. And he gives thanks, I'm sure, every day to, you know, his ability to play this game. And he is one of the best.
Well, he sure is. And a guy who's had something of a bounce back year. 7 sacks this season for Ricky Foley. He's gotten hot, particularly through the month of September. 5 sacks in his last 5 games, approaching his career high of 12. Posted back in 09.
Second and 6. Max protection for Durant again, and on a crossing pattern underneath. Weston Dressler.
Close to first down yardage for Dressler. Tracking speed of middle linebacker Rennie Curran. Indication of why the Eskimos brass likes this guy so much. Haul down the speedy receiver.
He is quite a ball player, Rennie Curran, former Georgia Bulldog. Talked earlier about being an author. He penned a book called Free Agent. It talks about his life in football and the ups and downs. And again, an accomplished musician. There's a high snap. And this is a good boot against that wind. Jamal Wiles now trying to get it outside. Miles is then struck down by Craig Butler. Torpedoes downfield. Just a 3-yard return for number 3. Rennie Curran, one of the world's most interesting football players, with the tackle.
Just a string of two and outs so far here in the third quarter. 8:17 remaining. Riders up 10 points. Edmonton ball first and 10 from their own 40.
Great thanks to Purelator for donating the quarterback's weight and food during the seasons to local food banks. Food collected today, almost 852,000 pounds. Our sack attack brought to you by Purelator, tackling hunger across Canada. No sacks yet for the newest Rough Rider, Alex Hall, today. 15 on the season, along with the Blue Bombers. Now, Ryder flushed out again, and Keith Shulligan drops him after he picked up about 3 or 4 yards. Keith Shulligan chases down Mike Riley. And it looks like Mike McCullough, again, filling in for the injured Ray Williams, got banged up here. longtime veteran of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a member of their 2007 Grey Cup champion team.
11th year man, one of the longest serving members of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And as you said, what a significant loss that would be as John White caught him with a block in the midsection.
McCullough saying that he took an elbow. McCullough goes to the sideline. Mike Riley. It has not been a kind couple of weeks for Mike Riley the last 3 weeks. Again, injured, concussed. Then last week, starting against Montreal, did not finish. 8 of 19 today. And a pick. Midway through the third quarter. But it's only a 10-point ball game. Cannot sing enough about the pressure from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. John Chick getting that big hand up, batting it away.
And again, you have to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are when you're the Edmonton Eskimos. Offensive line play hasn't been a strength for Edmonton, and you're putting an awful lot of onus on your five offensive linemen. When you're dropping back and passing on every down, you've got to do something to negate some of the heat Saskatchewan's putting on with their defensive front.
That has been a constant the last couple of weeks, and the Eskimos have been relying on second half comebacks. Look at John Sanders going back to his five. Long field here now. One of the issues today is this guy has not caught a football. Fred Stamps, 5 100-yard-plus games this season. He is even a little baffled right now. But if you look at Fred Stamps, and everybody talks about the greatness of G. Roy Simon, after 101 games, Fred Stamps.
Yeah, ahead of the pace of G. Roy Simon at the same stage in his career in every one of those categories. And Stamps, of course, having a fantastic 2013 season despite the struggles of this Edmonton Eskimo team. Leads the Canadian Football League in receiving. Big plays, receptions of over 30 yards. He's at 13.
Play action. Durant is sacked. Marcus Howard gets to the Saskatchewan quarterback and drops him at the 4-yard line. Loss of 8 on the play.
Well, that'll bring Marcus Howard into double digits, his 10th sack of the season, coming from that 3-point stance. We're trying to widen the edge a little bit. You see that double tight formation, Dan Clark in there as a tight end to that side.
Second and 18 here. The Eskimos can hold a good chance that the Riders will give up 2. There's a penalty flag though, and Durant off the back of a Rough Rider. Again, Andre Prue, our referee, will have the call here. They're saying it's against the Eskimos.
Offside. Edmonton number 41. 5-yard penalty. Still second down.
So it'll be second down now and 13 to go. Still a very long field. And again, keep in mind the wind. And keep in mind that Saskatchewan will have the breeze in the fourth.
Looks like Odell Willis was just leaning into that neutral zone. Helmet in the neutral zone, it appeared.
Durant and a sidearm toss out to Chris Getzlaff. And now this is a territory where the Rough Riders may contemplate giving up a deuce here. Again, Ricky Schmidt has a huge leg. And he's going to kick it out. And this is a great boot. So forget that. Jamal Miles, and Miles with a seam and good field position for the Eskimos. And they're going to have to capitalize with the wind at their backs. 46-yard kick, 15-yard return, and the Eskimos need to get Stamps going.
All right, Chris, you did the first two guys in linemen whose skills I would like to steal. Now give me Dominic Picard and Ben Heenan.
Picard, his football brain, his football IQ was just unreal. He would, I don't think I saw him get fooled more than a handful of times the whole time I played with him. As blitzes got more exotic, as things got just more complicated in front of us, as kind of the Chris Jones style of like defenses moving all the time and people in front of everyone all the time became more prevalent, Dominic was always up to the task of making sure we all knew what to do. And that is extremely hard in a high-pressure environment with very limited time. So he was a pro at that. And then Ben Heenan, I guess his youth and his ability, it would have been nice. Because in 13, I was starting to feel a little long in the tooth, and the injuries were starting to pile up a bit. But I was still playing at a high level. But watching this young guy just go out there and just be the man almost immediately was just something to watch. And he was such a good kid. Came in as a rookie, as a good rookie, and then really kind of a bit of a terrible twos guy, but that happens. But then that's when a rookie becomes a second year and bosses all the other rookies around more than you think they normally would. But but just a great guy and just a great teammate. He was always there for me. And I had a lot of fun playing beside Ben for a couple years there.
5:25 left in the third quarter. Riders still with a 10-point lead. Edmonton starting in Saskatchewan territory, first and 10 from the 40.
Eskimos, their best field position to start. Riley with time, but an in pattern here. And as we talked about going to break, they have to get Fred Stamps going, but also Darius Bowman only has one catch so far. Says a lot to both the Saskatchewan defense. They've done a tremendous job all day long. There's the rush again. Riley looking both ways and going over the top, and it's picked off. Drive.
Well, there may have been, if not for the pressure, an opportunity for Mike Riley to get this ball deep to Fred Stamps. He ends up open on the deep route here, but by the time he's open, that pocket has collapsed around Mike Riley. There's no way he can step into a deep throw. But again, the pressure forces a hurried throw and an error from the quarterback.
Again, Diamond Ferry with no Weldon Brown, no Williams. And now it's picked right back, and it's Ray Curran. And so, back at you, Durant tosses one to Rennie Curran. That is his first CFL interception. And two turnovers apiece in this game.
A big play here from Rennie Curran. He's just going to drop into zone coverage here. Underneath Taj Smith. The Eskimos get a reprieve.
I'm sure J.C. Sherrod will be out of there. Little applause for his teammate filling in admirably for him today. Mike Riley decides to go on himself, and he is brought down by Mike McCullough. Curious play call and first down.
Well, it's a play call that's a hard sell when your running backs haven't had a lot of carries and you haven't really established the run game. It's typically something that you're going to try to build off of that handoff to your running back.
Now the Eskimos again. Clock ticking down to 3 minutes. The third quarter.
And then the end of the wind in the fourth, so they got to get things moving here.
Back-to-back starts on the latter side of the field, but second down and 8. Three-man rush this time. Loads of time for Riley. Lots of steamboats, and a Darius Bowman. Matt had first down and more written all over it. When it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
We've seen a couple from Chris Getzlaff in this game. Calvin McCarty had trouble handling a couple of passes earlier. We see now Darius Bowman. And it's by no means frigid weather, but you wonder if the first real sort of cool weather game of the year is affecting some of the receivers.
So Grant Shaw, who getting his job back as a field goal kicker, made one from 47 earlier. This one from the 50-yard line, and it's enough, and it's right down Main Street. So now it's a 7-point game. Grant Shaw splits the uprights.
Great program, and proven to be a leader on and off the field.
Durant had Simon for a moment, now goes the other way, and it looks like a holding call in the backfield will negate this. The matter was incomplete anyway. Durant also was knocked down.
Holding Saskatchewan number 57 and 68. Penalties declined. Third down.
Double hold there, and again, this has been a quarter of a lot of two and outs on both sides. Saskatchewan has not attained a first down in the second half. And again, this game, 14-7 right now. All of the scoring has gone to the south side of this stadium, all with the wind today. Oh, high snap. Schmidt boots it through.
And we've talked about this in the past, Rod. It's the one thing that doesn't get mentioned when you talk about the direction of the wind. The one guy on the Saskatchewan team right now going with the wind is their long snapper, and he overshoots, probably compensating a little bit here.
Great, great point as Schmidt boots it through. 2-point safety touch, and Edmonton gets the ball back with 96 seconds left in the quarter and with the wind. And wisely, as Matt Carter was bearing down on Ricky Schmidt, that could have been a lot worse. Yeah. That could have been a tie ball game. So now the Eskimos will get Saskatchewan to kick it back to them. And again, into the breeze. This game has had quite a different ebb and flow. Lots of defense in this game.
Well, it's been an interesting last couple minutes, starting with Saskatchewan looking to Ricky Schmidt to punt them out of trouble in the end zone instead of taking that safety. Now, a safety would have made it a one-possession ball game at 8 points. You end up with a couple interceptions. They trade interceptions. Field position similar. Edmonton ends up getting a field goal instead of that safety because of the field position. Now they come back with the Riders forced to take another safety and give Edmonton another possession with the wind at their backs.
Big high kick, and Amando Sewell shouldn't have that football. But he did, and he was lucky to get on top of it. That's his second time today. Sewell was able to gather it in. Looks like he's banged up. This is something you don't want one of your D linemen.
Well, there's got to be communication between the returners and the guys blocking in front of them. Ideally, obviously, there's a reason why you have certain guys returning. They can move forward to take the ball. And it's not that Armando Sewell made the mistake of moving back to take this one. But, I mean, you've got to adjust to the wind.
There's Jamal Miles in the back.
And if Miles can get to this ball, he's got to tell Sewell, get out of the way and take somebody, and I'll move forward and catch the ball.
So Sewell is down, a minute 33 to go in this third quarter, and the Eskimos got pretty good field position once again to put some more points that they're going to need. And they are bringing out the cart and a stretcher here for Armando Sewell. Movement from the fingers. Crowd rises here. Armando Sewell, it's an ovation as he leaves. Again, we'll try to get an update for you. Now it is almost inconsequential as the rest of this ball game. There's something like that. But as always, the game goes on. Safety touch. Eskimos down 9 now. There's the rush again for Riley. He's in trouble again now. Trying to go back door. And there he is. Wrestled to the turf once more. Again, Zach Evans, Mike McCullough, a couple of Canadians coming in to drop Mike Riley.
Right, you get the sense that Mike Riley's hearing footsteps in the pocket a little bit now. He's at so much uninvited company back there throughout this game that almost immediately when things start to break down, he's looking to scramble, step up and run. And there may still be opportunities for something to open up downfield.
30 seconds to go, third quarter. Second and 13. Wow. Airs it out, a bit of a wobbler. Tiptoeing on the sidelines. A couple of yards shy of a first down, it looks like. It's Nate Kuhorn, former Calgary Dino.
And that'll bring out the Edmonton punt team again. Perhaps lost in the moment of more serious events. The fact that this is a 5-point ball game heading into the fourth quarter.
Crazy thing for the Eskimos. They claw back into this, but they've had 5 2-and-outs in a row. Again, Saskatchewan's D has been dynamite. Sanders knocks it and then gets it back. But only one more play to go in the third quarter, and then the Riders will have the wind. This is so tough for both coaching staffs to get their teams re-engaged.
Well, it really is. You have a moment like that that's that's so somber. And quite literally, as players, I've been in games like that where you have, in some cases, not just one, but multiple serious injuries. And, you know, I mean, to play football at full speed, you almost need to think of yourself as bulletproof and invincible. And you have something like that happen, and it makes it difficult to play that way.
Corey Sheets tries to spin down and half the first down yardage. That's three quarters down. The Eskimos are still very much in it. Down 14-9. Our best to Armando Sewell to try to get an update as we head to the fourth here in Regina.
We're talking to Chris Best on the road to the Grey Cup, and we were having this discussion last week on the Sports Cage. I want to get you in on this. If Ben Heenan had played 12 years as a Rider, how would we remember him?
Oh, he'd be the next Dean Majkowski. Like, he was easily that good. Like, Ben's a good friend of mine still to this day, and, like, he was that talented for sure. I was very fortunate that he got kicked out the tackle. Otherwise, I might have been me instead of Patty getting kicked out of here. Yeah, Ben, he was that good. He just he loved farming even more than football.
Just as an aside, as me, a guy with no athletic skill, I go, really? Oh, you could have been one of the greats? But then, I mean, it comes down to what you love, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember having a long talk with him right before he retired from the NFL, and he was so clear and focused about what he wanted to do and so happy about it. And meanwhile, I was still going back to play my ninth season, and Ben was kind of brought in to, like, replace me. And so I'm sitting around thinking, like, this guy here, he's got it all figured out. He's got his life going forward. And me, I'm still scrapping out here playing CFL football. It was quite the moment. But Ben was just so happy to kind of do what he does. And he's so excited about being a farmer that, like, I think he made the right move. As much as Rider Nation hated it, if his heart's not in it, he really, I think he did the right thing.
Hey, this is Sean Kleisinger. Did you know Chris Bass suited up in 114 games in 10 seasons with the Green and White? A native of Calgary, Bass now calls Regina home.
Now a five-point game as we start the fourth quarter. Riders going 2nd and 6 from their own 16.
Defense is dominating, almost a playoff-like game here, heading to the fourth quarter. 14-9 Saskatchewan, all the points scored with the wind and only 3 yards total for the Rough Riders. As we head to the fourth here with the Edmonton Eskimos, a very sobering reminder about the dangers of contact sport with Armando Sewell. And again, our best wishes to him. We'll try to get an update. But right now, back to football. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders do have the wind here in the fourth quarter, and that seems to be a serious thing in this game.
Well, it really does. As you just said, all the points have been scored with the wind in this ball game, and Saskatchewan desperately needs something to try and get some momentum back in this ball game. A couple of breaks went the Edmonton Eskimos way in that third quarter and allowed them to close the gap. Saskatchewan, again, only 3 yards in total offense through the third quarter going into that win.
Darian Durant, only 1 of 5, and a pick. Durant in the sunshine, and there's a big play downfield for Chris Getzlaff. Up near the 36-yard line, one of the biggest plays in the game. A game devoid of many big plays so far. 21-yarder for Getzlaff as he moves closer to the 1,000-yard plateau.
And Getzlaff in that three-man cluster to the wide side of the field.
Getzlaff, one of the best second down men in the Canadian Football League. Little counter play here. Sheets kicks it outside. Randy Curran there to push him out of bounds. Chris Getzlaff now closing in on a grand 974.
Yeah, Nick Moore, the BC Lions, had leapfrogged him last night in the Friday night game, but Getzlaff reclaims second spot on the receiving list.
Brother, of course, of Ryan Getzlaff, former Stanley Cup champion. Quick hitter far side. Todd Smith will get the benefit of the spot there. You can see the side judge. That will be another first down.
Well, and instantly the Riders become a completely different team offensively with that wind at their backs.
We're just hearing that Armando Sewell was transferred to hospital here in Regina. Cautionary, they are saying right now. We will naturally learn more in the next few hours and days. Corey Sheets again into the scrum. Ted Laurent and a penalty flag late. And was there some unnecessary roughness, perhaps even a mask? Looked like a face mask late against Corey Sheets.
Major foul, face mask. Edmonton number 97.
Eddie Steele lined up right on the center. He's the second man in on that tackle with Ted Laurent. Eddie Steele will see a lot of action here in place of the injured Almondo Sewell.
There it is. Glove on grill. Well, we talked about Corey Sheets in the past. This is when he picks his game up. Fourth quarter player. There he goes. Another face mask perhaps. This will move the sticks even further.
An indication that this will be against the Rough Riders.
They're saying it. That flag was thrown. It looked like it could have been a mask.
Holding. Saskatchewan number 68. Major foul. Face mask. Edmonton up 5 yards from the previous line of scrimmage. Automatic first down.
So, again, first down automatic. There was a face mask, not our imagination, and the hold.
Yeah, the hold is on the center, Dominic Picard. You see the face mask as Corey Sheets goes into traffic. Again, the nose, Eddie Steele, the man. Picard blocking, back-to-back face mask calls on him.
Corey Sheets has 76 yards rushing so far today. Here's a few more. Munoz tracks him down. Out near the first down marker. Corey Sheets has been very vocal about what has turned into a rivalry with John Cornish, has he not?
Well, it's made things interesting, that's for sure. Corey Sheets got off to that fantastic start, rushing for over 100 yards. A string of games to start the season, becoming the fastest player ever to reach 1,000. Then felled by injury.
Second and two. The call again, first down again. Well, felled by injury, and he was on pace to shatter Mike Pringle's all-time record of 2065. John Cornish is taking aim at that now. Possibility exists he would need a few huge games down the stretch. What has been an outstanding year for a guy who is certainly drawing and will draw votes for most outstanding player. And I know you are a person that believes that the voting system for CFL awards should possibly change. I know it's long been East and West, but there has been, and many would admit, there have been flaws in that system in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line, whether you want to go with two finalists or three finalists, the bottom line is that the finalists for the awards should be the most deserving guys and the guys who are going to make it the closest vote. Much like a Grey Cup game, you want the two best teams, the teams that are going to provide the best drama. Final vote shouldn't be a preconceived or a predetermined thing.
Second and seven, near the first down marker again. Getzlaff.
Well, there's a guy who's a perfect example of what we just talked about, Chris Getzlaff, having a phenomenal season, but has absolutely no shot of being a finalist for the most outstanding Canadian, as long as John Cornish is doing what he's doing.
17 yards away now for Getzlaff from his second 1,000-yard season. He achieved that milestone back in 2011. The 11th play coming for the Rough Riders. Durant now. Rolling, looking, sideline. Walking the tightrope nicely was Rob Bagg. Short of a first down, but able to hang on.
Great concentration here from Rob Bagg. Darian Durant flush from that pocket, but you see the eyes downfield looking for something to happen. Bagg, good awareness of the sideline, keeps that foot in to make a play.
Red zone time, second and three. Riders scored twice in the second quarter, but nothing since then. And battering for virtually nothing that time was Sheets. But I understand that argument that you make, and it's a very valid one, particularly moving forward. If you had a three-man system for final votes, perhaps one season, the three most outstanding players all come from one team.
Well, it very easily could have happened in 2011 when you had three guys with the Montreal Alouettes and Anthony Calvillo, who eventually won the East nomination, Jamel Richardson and Brandon Whitaker, who any of those three guys, Travis Lule, ultimately was named the league's most outstanding player that year. But any one of the three Alouette players could have been considered as a finalist.
So short of a first down. And again, if with the system the way it is this year, there are going to be some players that can't get out of their own city in the vote.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the way the first half of the season went here in Saskatchewan, you could have made an argument for Corey Sheets and Darian Durant as the top two players in the league for a chunk of the year. Yet only one of them could even be a nominee for the award.
Here's one of the biggest plays in the game right here. Third down and one. Drew Willey comes behind center this time. Eskimos looking for a stop. There goes Willie. They stopped him. He's not going to get it. We'll have to see what the spot is, but that looks like a stuff from here.
It sure did. There was no forward movement there from the Rough Rider quarterback.
And even if they gave them the measurement, you'd have to be tempted to challenge the spot if you're Cavis Reed.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. Under the circumstances, you'd have to.
When that ball was tucked in, the fact they were pushing that helmet back, what a push by the Eskimos. And yes, their offense comes on the field, a turnover on downs. Could be a turning point in this ball game, right here, right now.
Tight defensive battle in this one. Riders with the 14-9 lead, 9:36 left in the fourth quarter. Edmonton football, first and 10, caught at their own six.
A big third down play by the Edmonton Eskimos defense. Terrific surge from the middle, despite the absence of their top interior D lineman. The right hand of Rennie Curran. Somebody's got a hold of Drew Willey from underneath, but Rennie Curran got a hand on the helmet and gave him a push to stop his forward momentum. Then reset and kept driving back.
Well, now can the Eskimos, who have had problems offensively, move this ball? Long field, ears pinned back. And they're against the run. Oh, and they fumbled the football. Jamal Miles was lucky to pounce on it. That's kind of the way the Eskimo offense has been operating.
Well, they don't make anything easy, that's for sure. Risky, risky play call in the territory. And again, this is a team that you would desperately love to see establish a basic run game, to not have to resort to plays like that when they need to try and move the ball on the ground.
Here it is as well. You and I, as many catches right now as Fred Stamps. He looks to Stamps over the top. That's his first. With 8.5 to go and a critical one, Fred Stamps comes through big time here. This is a guy who's had some monster games in the past against the Rough Riders. His first catch comes midway through the fourth.
A big second down conversion for Fred Stamps. Eskimos defensively and offensively have come through in the clutch back-to-back series here.
Just the second first down of the half. Now he looks quick hitter far side. Adarius Bowman for a minute. Stamps looked like he might be the target, but it was Bowman. So now they're trying to reignite this offense through Bowman and Stamps. They're number one and two targets.
Yeah, their go-to guys. Quiet all day with this Eskimo offense sputtering throughout.
And Eskimo offense, Dwayne, also without Marcus Henry. Another impact receiver unable to play. They're going with three Canadians this week in Carter, Kuhorn, and Chambers, the three C's. Here's the rush again. Riley over the top in traffic. Dangerous toss. tried to go to the well again to Fred Stamps, but now it's third down. They were able to get themselves out of the hole, the shadows of their goalpost, but they're going to have to kick it into the wind.
Rough Riders mixing up their look a little bit. Ricky Foley lined up as a linebacker on that play to give an extra pass rusher from that spot.
You saw one of the main reasons why Fred Stamps has seen a lot of attention today. Dwight Anderson has been on him a lot. Blanket coverage. Brad Shaw looking to run. Now he goes. It's a fake from the Eskimos now. And Brad Shaw is a first down and more. Touche.
There's a great heads-up play by Grant Shaw. Not sure if this one was called.
There is a penalty flag. This came after the run, however. Looked like unnecessary roughness up near the 50. And some extracurriculars, and Kavis Reed is not happy right now.
After the play was over, major foul, unnecessary roughness, Edmonton number 55. 15-yard penalty from the end of the play. First down.
Now they keep their downs, but they go back 15.
Yeah, obviously getting the first down was a priority. And the failure here from a Saskatchewan point of view, they had no one forcing the kick. You've got to have contained guys on both sides who rush in and ensure that the ball is punted. They didn't have guys doing that. Grant Shaw recognizes that. Turns it into a first down.
So again, we've already seen two fake punts. One from both sides. So now a false start. Did Saskatchewan jump or were they drawn?
Legal procedure. Edmonton, number 65. 5-yard penalty, still first down.
The Eskimos, one of the most penalized teams in the Canadian Football League. Simeon Rotier.
Well, we'll look back on the previous play on that fake punt. Ailey Ngoye in a little wrestling match out around midfield with Terrius George. Here's a reaction from Kavis Reed as he cost his team 15 critical yards.
Now first and 15. Time for Riley. Far side. Fred Stamps sure-handed. And again, look at Dwight Anderson right there. And it's a first down, Edmonton. What a matchup. One-on-one. You talk about two big game players. Anderson and Stamps.
Well, we've talked throughout this game about the fact that Fred Stamps hasn't received a lot of looks or throws in his direction. But Mike Riley clearly recognizing here as we get into the fourth quarter in crunch time that he's got to make a concerted effort to get number two involved.
Still moving the football. A rush comes again. That one's a little high. Oh, what a hit, but hanging on. Hugh Charles, outstanding catch. Carlos Thomas pummeled him.
Hugh Charles slipped out into the flat from the backfield. Carlos Thomas has seen a lot of action today in that Rough Riders secondary. Timed that hit perfectly, but terrific concentration and catching the hands. There's Hugh Charles.
Critical second down again for the Eskimos. Riley, pump and go. And again, finds a man, and again, another drop here. Matt Carter, who made a great catch earlier in this ball game on a tip. This was one that he should have had. Former star at Acadia. So the Eskimos will kick it away again.
This is what we just talked about with Hugh Charles on the previous play. Catching the ball in your hands. Play later. Matt Carter lets it get into his body. You can't cushion it off your shoulder pads.
Edmonton used up 4:19 on the clock. They kept Saskatchewan's offense off the field. But look at this. John Sanders pasted there at the 36-yard line. But Mike Riley knows his team let one get away. They're down 5.
Chris Best with us for this look back at a game against Edmonton. And Chris, we talked to Brendan Tamman last week. He said the strength of the 2013 team was the offensive line. Would you agree with that?
We had a really special group that year. All five of us were really on the same page. We had a chance to kind of bond through the ups and downs of 2012 and really had about the same group with some really... We just had a really tight group and a really great running back. to the point that was the only time in my career, I think, where we knew we could run the ball with impunity, no matter what the down and distance, no matter what the time of the game. Like, we just knew, I mean, you block up all five guys up front and you give Corey Sheets or Jock Saunders the ball and we were going to make something happen. And that was a really fun experience to be a part of.
This fourth quarter is whizzing by. 4:59 remains. Rider football first and 10 from their own 38 as they cling to the five-point lead.
Under 5 minutes to go here inside the Saskatchewan huddle. Rider's been off the field now for about 4.5 minutes, so mission accomplished for the Eskimos. But now their D has to hold. The Eskimos barely clinging to life. Postseason hopes, trying to play spoiler as well here. Corey Sheets time. Scraping and battling and has 6 yards. It'll be second down and 4.
Part of what makes Corey Sheets valuable in this situation is the way that he takes care of the football coming into this game. 227 carries, 32 receptions, only one fumble for the Rough Rider running back.
They already have a playoff spot secure. The question is, where will they finish? They want a home playoff date. A win here today would go a long way to helping to secure that. Now here's the rush, Durant, and almost picked far side. Looking for Corey Sheets and Rennie Curran, filling in for J.C. Sherritt. Not an easy guy to move into his cleats. Has done a great job here today.
Yeah, Rennie Curran has been one of the great finds for the Edmonton Eskimos in this less than stellar season. Again, here he's going to range out in coverage. Man-to-man with the Rough Rider running back, timing his arrival with the footballs.
Corey Sheets 3 yards away from a 100-yard rushing day. 25 touches, 134 yards total. Now Jamal Miles set to return. Look at this kick. Ricky Schmidt, thunder yard. Miles, a crease, a seam, a shake. And now, there he goes. There's a penalty flag. And this likely will come back. Could be an illegal block on the way back. 52-yard kick, 32-yard return. Time ticking down here. The Edmonton Eskimos trying to play comeback at Mosaic.
Riders are going to need that defense once again. 3:31 remaining here. Riders up 14-9. Edmonton football first and 10 from their own 18.
And the Eskimos, one of their special teams, Stevens, Corbin Sharoon, the men called for the hold. He's got an eye on Brian Peters. Now it is the long snapper for Corey Huklak. Tab for a hold, and that's going to bring that return back. Just mentioning Huklak, he got his bell rung and is going through the concussion protocol, spending some time in the quiet room right now.
Brian Peters handling long snap duties. Eskimos have had problems on that return game this year. Most penalties in the league on returns. Man turns it up here. Riley has time, slings it out, coming back to the football is Kuhnhorn, and lost some yardage and a penalty flag on the Eskimo sideline. Kuhnhorn comes up limping. And we talked about the Eskimos and their lack of discipline this season. Last in the CFL in penalty yardage and penalties. This one.
Major foul.
Against Saskatchewan.
Unnecessary roughness. Saskatchewan number 28. 15-yard penalty enforced from the end of the play. First down.
The hitman. Craig Butler with a little extra hit.
I'll tell you, I'm not real crazy about this call against Butler. He's trailing on the play. And the tackle is made. Matt Carter's coming to block him. Butler's got to protect himself.
First and 10 Eskimos from their 40. Riley in trouble. Flush now. Escapes from the pocket. And this time steps out of bounds. Right in front of Craig Butler that time. Swaps helmets. 3-minute warning. Eskimos driving the football. Down 5 points here in Regina.
Chris, you grew up in Calgary. You went to school in North Carolina and in Ontario. Your wife is from the States. So what made you want to stay in Saskatchewan when your on-field career was done?
The Rough Riders were great to me, and they helped me get my first engineering job early in my career here with a local firm, and really kind of made sure it was okay for me. Like, they kind of let me work in the off seasons as long as I got my job done, as long as I got my workouts in, and really just kept opening doors for me as much as I could. And so I just kept, I made it a goal while I was still playing to try and get at least a bit of a better job every single year, even if it's only slightly better, and just keep climbing up the ladder while I was still playing football, because it's kind of a privileged position you're in when you're playing. And when it came time to retire, I already had my job all lined up. I already had kind of, my wife was here, my kid was born here. I, at the time, only had one child. I got three now. It just made sense to me. You know, the community's been so good to me for so many years. We never really even thought twice about leaving. We were just kept it going.
2:45 left in Regina. Edmonton's drive continues, now in Saskatchewan territory. First and 10 from their own 53 as the Riders hold a 5-point lead.
Mike Riley, 2.5 to go here. Saskatchewan leads 14-9. First and 10. And a hard toss to the far sideline, and Shamad Chambers has it. Again, three Canadian receivers for the Eskimos, and Chambers, Kuhorn, and Matt Carter all getting involved today. It'll be second down now. Looks like about 2 yards.
And it'll be an interesting second down alignment here from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They've got their four best pass rushers on the field with Georgia Chick inside, Foley and Hall on the outsides.
Riley spreads it out anyways. And we'll hand it off to Calvin McCarty.
Alex Hall's biggest play is the Saskatchewan Rough Rider.
First game as a Rider, it's third down. And this offense isn't going anywhere. They're staying on the field. And of all things, the Eskimos lost yardage. Inside the 10-yard line. What a play call. Wide open. Biggest play offensively for the Eskimos. A 40-yard pickup.
And a bust in coverage there from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Leaves Adarius Bowman wide open on the crossing route. He's going to come right to left. On a little delay on his release. Forgotten in the coverage.
John Chick, another critical second down upcoming. The Eskimos will take a timeout. They have not been very good in the red zone so far today.
Lone trip to this part of the field came at the end of the first half. And ended with a Tyron Brackenridge interception that took points off the board for the Edmonton Eskimos.
Funny how we talked with Mike Riley, and he said he loved October, November ball up here in Canada because this is playoff kind of football. And he knew that his Eskimos are a very long shot to make it to the postseason. They played this like a playoff game, both teams today.
Yeah, they really have. It's that time of year. And Edmonton Eskimos, despite some struggles for the better part of this ball game offensively, have been up to the challenge, giving the Saskatchewan Rough Riders all they can handle right now.
Eskimos' issue has been close games, trying to win it, pull it out. They haven't been very good, trying to finish. Can they? Will they? Riley over the top and down near the goal line is Nate Kuhorn, and both players are banged up. Dwight Anderson, it's like he hurt his arm. So it's going to be third and goal. Here we go. Third and goal. They line up. Riley goes forward and he scores. There is no signal, but it clearly looked like he got into the end zone. However,
Corey Chamberlain was trying to call a timeout on the Saskatchewan sideline.
There was no play. Saskatchewan had called timeout prior to the play.
He had called timeout. Here it was here. Getting the referee's attention, got it. Riley looked like he did dive into the end zone. There was no signal, but it's a moot point anyways with the timeout. So third and goal. And the Edmonton Eskimos have been in this situation
before. They
just have not been able to come away with the win.
Well, Mike Riley looked like he may have taken a bit of a shot to the nose on that last quarterback sneak.
Again, he has taken so many shots last couple of weeks, and officials could not see, but again, it didn't matter with the timeout. Well, another opportunity here. The Eskimos stop the Riders on third down. Can the Riders stop the Eskimos?
Since there was a timeout before the play, timer, please reset the clock to read 1 minute and 26 seconds. There was no play.
Hey, Andre Prue clarifies that for us. Avis Reed going ballistic on the sideline. So now it comes down to this.
Mike Riley just stepped back to do a quick head count in that huddle.
Can barely watch. Third and goal. Straight forward. No signal. No signal. Did they stop them? Again, the ball has got to get a piece of that goal line, the plane. And the fact that we have not seen a signal means, yes, the Rough Riders have stopped the Eskimos. With 1:18 to go.
Just a mass of humanity down at the goal line. We'll try to get a look here, but
the ruling of the field is the ball carrier did not break the goal line. The play is under review by the command center in Toronto. The play will be reviewed.
Now you can see Mike Riley's helmet in there, but that doesn't show exactly where the ball is.
You have to have conclusive evidence to overturn the call. The call on the field is that he was stopped. And look at the officials right in there. Umpire Adam Paradowski was right there. Here's the other side now, and here maybe is our best look right here. And you still can't see the goal line, so I think this is going to stand.
Yeah, you're not going to get any kind of look that's going to provide enough evidence to get this overturned, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders come up with a huge goal line stand to save the day.
Huge goal line stand to save the day, but maybe not still the game. There's time left here. The Eskimos do not have a timeout, but the field is a long field for the Rough Riders. And so the Eskimos are going to have to find a way to stop them quickly here and try to get the ball back. There will hardly be any time left if they did.
Well, you don't want to get too far ahead here as to what the Saskatchewan Rough Riders do if
after
they can't pick up a first down.
Ruling of the field stands.
Third 25,000 plus. Love that announcement. Still not over them. What did Brent Butt say earlier? No lead is safe. We have seen some outstanding defense here today. Turnovers on downs, both sides, interceptions back to back. Defenses have come to play. Riders have to be careful here not to give up two in the end zone. So they go forward. That only takes up 3 seconds of the clock.
Just trying to get a little bit of breathing room, but
you have 8 yards to get a first down. They get the first down, that should seal it. But now they'll use the play clock. The game clock will wind down. And then there's still a chance if they don't get the first down, the Eskimos get the ball back. Another big play here. Durant in his end zone, shotgun. He is going to take it himself. And he has the first down. And he hooks that. Up to the 15-yard line.
Gutsy play call there from George Cortez. Well executed by the 12 men on the field for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
He doesn't get that. The Riders have to punt it away. And that is the game saver.
And the key block on the play came from the former Eskimo offensive lineman Devin Tyler. Had the kick-out block on Damaso Munoz. See the dejection on the face of Kavis Reed.
Playoff hopes evaporate. Officially, time extinguishing here on this game. Boy, it had the feel of postseason battle. The Eskimos will play the Rough Riders, and that game could mean a lot too for home field advantage for the Riders, who now move 2 points ahead of the BC Lions in the West. The Eskimos' final game of the season against the Riders, who have BC next week in Calgary. Down the stretch we come. We certainly wish the best for Armando Sewell. A devastating injury earlier. Rough Riders, after losing 4 in a row, have now won 2 straight, and they give thanks in Rider Nation to a hard-fought win. They score 14 in the second quarter, and none after that, and still hang on. That's what winning teams do. Game dominated by the defenses. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders hang on and beat the Eskimos for the third time this season, 14-9.
Back inside the booth with Derek and Luke following the Riders' 14-9 win over Edmonton, their 10th win of the season, en route to 11-7. Couple of picks for Darian Durant in this game. It wasn't always perfect, but it shows you, I think, Luke, the depth of this team, that only 14 points and a couple of mistakes, but held Edmonton to 9, and I don't know that I really felt they were super at risk in this game.
I'm glad you alluded to the fact that they lost 2 of the last 4. Especially where they lost them, week 17 and 18 for them, right? You never want to go into the playoffs on 2 losses. But I think that just sort of the last 4 games really exemplify how good the league was right there, right? But at the same time, even though he threw the picks, this team in the back third of that season understood how to win close games, understood how to tough it out, understood that there were going to be some adverse times at some point in the football game, especially in the last third of the season, because that's where everybody, specifically the West teams, are just playing their best football. And it was really a testament to them because they also went into the playoffs with a lot of noise around them. Those last 2 losses, people were concerned. But it was the wrong people that were concerned. That was the underscore that I hope people take away. Nobody was concerned in that locker room. I remember talking to a ton of those guys all throughout the year, but specifically near the end of the year, where you just heard Rider Nation just voicing every single concern in the book, from Darian Durant, from the whatever, the defense, the offense.
Is Sheets healthy? Why is he sitting out the final game? Yeah.
Is Sheets healthy? Things like that. None of that stuff matters when you're trying to win a championship. And in Rider Nation specifically, it's hard to block that noise out. If you don't understand how to be a champion. And I think that that's where, when we talked about Brendan Taman and the episode where Brendan Taman was interviewed, right, we talked about him being sort of an unsung hero, where people painted the picture of just him being very fortunate, but he was very calculated. And those last two games, including this one, where you score 14 points in one quarter and then just don't score again, right, there's a lot of adversity that takes place on the sideline when the offense isn't going. And there's also a lot of tension, because once the defense, and I've been in this situation before, once the defense all of a sudden figures out, well, hey, we didn't want him to score in the first place, now we can't let him score in the first place. More importantly, we might have to score. That switches the feel and the vibe on the sideline. So this team never really got affected by that sort of thing, though. And it was because of the guys Taman had. I know that G-Roy specifically, he was really a big part and a big reason why they were so efficient in the final third, despite not having an easy road and making it hard on themselves.
Four-game losing streak during the season, a two-game losing streak into the playoffs, and they took on BC in that West semifinal in Regina. That is our game next week. It's a get back game for G-Roy Simon, and oddly enough, the toughest game they faced in those playoffs. It is a great one. We will hear from a ton of voices. Corey Sheets, Tyron Brackenridge, Brendan Taman, G-Roy Simon, and on and on and on. Please do join us next Sunday. It's 3:00, a 4-hour road to the Grey Cup as we go through the playoffs right to the Grey Cup in Regina on November 22nd. For Luke, I am Derek. Thank you so much for being with us on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.